18. And Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 in one hand, and Matthew chapter 18 in the other. Now, Matthew chapter 18, look down in verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and go into the and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, Luke chapter 15, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask that you would give us liberty and power to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls in this place. Do it for thy honor and for thy glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got three or four messages on those two passages. And, of course, if you notice, and I've preached before, but while it is basically the same story and the same parable, it is definitely delivered to two different groups for two different reasons. But there is a theme that goes through both, and that is that Jesus wants to reach the lost. Amen. And you can preach this, that that's God's people, and one of them goes astray like a backslider, and they're lost in that sense, and Jesus goes after them. You can preach it that it's mankind, his children, his sheep, and that some are lost, and he's not willing for them to perish. And so he goes to seek him. So you can preach it both ways and make a practical application. Doctrinally, it won't fit either one of those, by the way. But you can make a practical application. Now, I want to bring you a new message on that passage with a new thought behind it. And I hope it'll be interesting and helpful for you. I'll bring you a little message entitled, Wherever the Sheep Go. Wherever the sheep go. And if you'll give me a few minutes, we'll get back to that thought. Jesus is the great shepherd. The Bible calls him the chief shepherd. And it's his job to take care of and look out for the sheep. And of course, you and I are the sheep. And so he looks out for us. But of course, as the great shepherd, he looks out for the whole flock, and including the ones that are lost. And so I want to just talk to you about where the shepherd goes to get the sheep. Wherever the sheep go, here comes the shepherd. There's no place that sheep can go that the shepherd won't come to find them. That's a really comforting thought. If you're lost, dead, and trespassing in sin, Jesus will go wherever he has to go to reach you. If you're saved by God's grace and backslid and lost from the flock, there's no place God won't go to reach you. Amen? And so I just want to preach a little message this morning, and we'll go up and have a nice lunch up at, what's the name of that place we're going? Market Street. Good food if y'all go with us. Y'all invited. Everybody pays their own, but y'all invited. Now, let me start with this. First, let me give you a command that Jesus gave to all of us. It's found in John chapter 21 and verse 19. The command is, follow me. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And he tells the sheep, follow me. Wherever he goes, that's where you ought to go. Whatever he does, you ought to emulate. Amen. Every Christian, every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be a follower of him. See the paths that he walked. His paths were paths of righteousness. His paths were paths of service. His paths were paths of honesty and integrity and morality. This is the path, walk ye therein. Okay? And so he says, follow me. You can never go wrong following the Lord Jesus Christ. You just find out where he's going or where he's headed and just get in line with him and get on that path, and you'll be okay when it's all over with. I guarantee you he will never lead you astray. I wish every Christian could get it in their head, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen? Instead of wanting to be a leader, you ought to learn to be a follower. I've noticed something about not being able to follow. We got two old cats in our house. They just strays. I mean, they just nothing cats, you know. But they hang out there, and as long as they don't try to get in the house, they're welcome. And we'll give them scraps if they'll catch mice, you know, that kind of thing. We got a working arrangement. We give them room and board, and all they got to do is catch mice. But I've noticed every time I pull up in the driveway, here come both them cats. They come running. And as soon as you get out of the car and start walking toward the house, they turn around and start walking into the house. And they always get right in front of you. I mean, and they get right between your legs. And you got to keep moving them to keep from stepping on them. Now, they don't know where you're going, but they're going to get there first. They are not going to follow anybody. You never seen a cat. A dog will follow, but not a cat. Them dumb fuck things have got to be in front. And I've stepped on them. I've kind of nudged them out of the way in a brutal sort of a way. it doesn't make any difference. If I walk from the car to the porch, they're in front. If I walk from the car down toward the woods, they're out in front. They got no clue where we're going, but they're not going to follow. They are headstrong. They're going to do it their way. Amen? Now, they don't know what they're looking for, and they don't know what they're going, but bless God, they're on their way. Reminds me of a lot of Christians. He said, follow me. Point number two. If we follow his command, if we will be admonished by him, here's what obedience to that command will do. Psalm 23 and verse 2, he leadeth us beside still waters, he leadeth us in green pastures. Amen? So if the Lord said, follow me, and you follow him, here's the result. Good stuff. A good life. Clear, clean, cool water. Plenty of green grass. That's what a sheep looking for. Amen? Now, they're not smart enough to find it on their own. The Bible said it's not in man to direct his own steps. Lean not on thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let the Lord lead, and he'll lead you beside the still waters. He'll lead you in green pastures. If you want the best life that it's possible for a human being to have, live for God. Let Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit and the agency of that book, the preaching of the Word of God, be the ruling God for your life. Put him first. Make him first. Obey his commandments. Go where he says go. Don't go where he says don't go. Amen? Follow me. If you follow him, he will lead you. Beside still waters, he will lead you in green pastures. If you want to be happy, if you want success, if you want contentment, If you want your heart to be quiet and just be still, if you want your life to be free from upset and turmoil and anxiety, follow him. Go where he goes. Just get behind him, not in front of him, and watch where he goes, and just walk in his tracks. Amen? Now, the folks that do that have the best life. I didn't say it was a life without peril. It's not necessarily a life without problem. But I'll tell you what, it will ultimately lead you in the right places and bring you to the right things. It will deliver that which your heart longs for, peace and security and contentment and quiet and assurance with God. Follow me. The consequence of obedience brings green pastures and still waters. Conversely, what does disobedience bring? Well, in Matthew chapter 18, where we just read, lost. Luke chapter 15, verse 4, lost. Follow him. Keep him in sight. Go where he goes, green pastures, still waters. Don't follow him, you end up lost. Say, why? Because it's not in man to direct his own steps. You ain't got a clue where you go. You ever been this way before? Do you know where the road of life runs? Is this your virgin voyage? This the first time you've ever passed this way? Do you know what's around the next bend? Do you know where the path goes? What in heaven's name makes you think you're capable of figuring it out yourself? Amen? Wouldn't it be wise if you are in the wilderness to follow somebody who has been there before, that knows how to get through the wilderness, where knows where the water is at, knows where the green grass is at, knows where the rough places in the road are? Well, I'll tell you right now, I ain't following nobody. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me how. I'm going to be my own person. Okay, stupid. End up out in the wilderness. End up lost in the mountains someplace. Amen? People are like sheep. We got no sense of directions when it comes to the things of life. Some worse than others. I remember a few years ago, Miss Helen Griffin was going to a beach with some friend of theirs. And they left really early in the morning, like 5 o'clock or something, and they got in their car, and they had it all gassed up, and it was all packed up, and they had hotel reservations, and they took off. And they rode, and they rode, and they rode, and they rode, and they finally called in about 1 o'clock in the afternoon to see if maybe they'd missed a road or something, get some directions, and they got directions from somebody, and they rode and rode and rode some more. And late that night, now y'all been to the beach, y'all know it only takes about 3-4 hours, right? About midnight, they called home. They were lost. And James Griffin said, Helen, where y'all at? We don't know. Well, what does it say on the sign? Can you see a road sign? And she said, yeah, it says, Highway so-and-so, Asheville, North Carolina, 8 miles. They got 100-something miles in the wrong direction, buddy, and took them 12 hours to get there. That kind of reminds me of people trying to lead their own lives. You don't know where you're going. You've never been this way before. You don't know what's up there. You don't know how to read signs. Disobedience brings loss. Now, that can be loss of service, loss of fellowship, loss of protection, loss of joy. You know, David was a shepherd. And when the flock was threatened by a bear, he slew the bear. When the flock was threatened by a lion, he slew the lion. The shepherd didn't just lead him to green pastures and still waters. The shepherd protected. Now, if you have a protector there and you're aware of their presence and you have confidence in them, you know what you have? You have peace. You ever watch little children at night? You take them upstairs and tuck them into bed, and about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear them crying. They're afraid. They want to come get your bed. Or maybe you tuck them into their bed and you wake up in the middle of the night and they're sleeping outside your door wrapped up in a little blanket. So what's their problem? They're afraid. Right. But down close to you, they feel safe and they go right to sleep. Amen? Now listen, if you follow Jesus and let him be your shepherd, he not only provides still water, he not only provides grass, he's a protector. Amen? And when you get away from Jesus, when you don't follow him, when you lead your own life and do it your own way, and you can't be admonished and you can't be instructed, guess what? You not only lose sight of the shepherd, you lose his green grass and his still water, you lose his protection. You want to know why some Christians make such a miserable mess out of their lives and why they apparently go from one catastrophe to another, one tragedy to the next, and nothing ever goes their way, and it's just trouble after trouble after trouble, and they never have any peace and they never have any insurance? You know what their problem is? They're not following the shepherd. And they've forsaken his presence and his provision and his protection. Amen. I don't know about you, buddy, but they was that bad big enough to beat me up. There's some things out there you can't handle. Now, when I was a young man, I didn't think that was true. I always figured, I grew up street fighting. When I grew up, that's just the way we lived. We lived in a rough neighborhood, and if you couldn't fight, you got beat up all the time. I learned at a real early age to fight and to win. Now, you don't ever want to fight me because I do not fight fair. I will sucker punch you. I'll use a stick. I'll kick you where you ought not be kicked. Whatever I got to do to win. Amen? I'll just tell you that going in, so you better be mean and sneaky when we start. If you think it's going to be easy, son, bring your lunch because we're going to be here a while. Amen? Now, so in our neighborhood, you had to fight. Why did I get off on fighting? Yes, I'm glad somebody's listening. I was a boy, I didn't think nobody could whoop me. Then I took karate for a long, long time. And I was pretty good at it. I wasn't world champion or anything, but I could take care of myself, amen? And if you don't think so, give me a shot sometime. I always kind of enjoyed that kind of conflict. People say, well, I'm just not combative. Oh, I am. Don't bother me a bit. Amen. But I realized after a while, I don't care how big you are and how bad you are, there's somebody out there whoop you. Just a matter of time, you run into the right dude, and you're just going to take a whooping. Amen. There are things out there in life that can whip you. You ain't going to face everything and beat it. People say, well, I'm just going to lead my own life. I'm here to tell you, if you live long enough, you'll find something that will overwhelm you and overpower you. And what you're going to need is somebody else to help you out. When you don't obey the command to follow him, you forsake his protection. And the day's coming, you're going to need it. Not only that, point number four is this. It's your choice. Your choice. The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. God Almighty never made anybody serve him. He offers you an opportunity. You can get in on it, or you can let it slide. It's up to you. Everybody that served God has to choose to do so. There's no law, there's no requirement, there's no mandate. We can't put you in jail if you don't. It's up to you. It's your choice. Now, most things in life are a choice. Most of the time, the trouble you've had in life was because of the choices you made. You chose bad friends and bad company, and you chose to go bad places, and you chose to like bad things, and then you wonder what the hell happened when things go bad. I tell you what happened. You made bad choices. You can't continually do wrong or do bad and get it to come out good. It doesn't work that way. Sooner or later, you make enough bad choices, bad things start to happen in return. Amen? Little old boys and girls think they can run with the wrong crowd and have a lot of fun, and one of these days, well, they'll let that crowd go, and they'll straighten themselves up and live right. No, you won't. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. You get into a certain lifestyle, a certain rut, start to learn to like certain things. I know a lady that liked to go honky-tonking. She just liked that atmosphere. She liked men making over and hitting on her. She just didn't like that. And she liked the music and the smoke and the sounds. And she liked being pursued. She just liked honky-tonking. She lived most of her life that way. Then she got down and sick and couldn't go anymore. And you know what she said one day? She said, I wish I'd never gone in the first one. It got in my blood. She went to that first one, and she learned to like it. And then she couldn't quit. And she wasted her whole life doing that. I'm here to tell you, you better be careful about the choices you make. The choices about what you drink, the choices about what you smoke. The choice about who your friends are, the choice about how you live, the choice about the kind of music you listen to. Here's some guy trying to be Christian and be spiritual and listen to country music. You ain't got the sense God gave a brass monkey. Say why? Because there ain't nothing spiritual about country music. There ain't nothing spiritual about rock and roll. Amen? But oh, I can listen to it and it don't bother me. Sure, sure. Don't you know, slop in, slop out. Amen? That's what they say about computers. Well, your brain works the same way. Whatever you put in here, that's what you think about. That's what you digest. That's what you meditate on. That's what affects how you live. You better be careful about them choices, which brings me to point number 5. Choose carefully. Why? Well, because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible said, straight is the way. And straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You better be careful. You better choose carefully. You better make your choices carefully, because whatever choice you make is going to determine the kind of life you have. Amen? Amen. The choices you make determine the quality of your life. You choose bad places and bad things and bad people, you are going to have a bad result. It's as simple as that. People say, oh, well, so-and-so's not having any fun. His life is so dull and his life is so boring. You know what it's all about? Here's a guy that doesn't drink and doesn't smoke and doesn't run around not cheating on his wife. And what fun is he having? Boy, his life is so boring. Give me that boring life. I want that one. That's the one I want, son. I don't need to feel that rush of excitement. Listen, when I was a boy, we used to hang out in the beer joints. I mean, that's just the way I was brought up. I'm not bragging about that. That's just where we grew up. I'd come home, I joined the Navy, I'd come home on the weekend, I'd have to go out to the beer joints to find my dad and my brother. They'd be at the Flying Saucer, the Peanut, the White Castle, all in places up and down Cherry Road. And you go in there and everybody's sitting around drinking. There'd be three or four, half dozen old floozy girls in there and about 100 boys. Amen? And you know what the atmosphere was in there? You was always worried about somebody who was drinking was going to say something and start a fight, or somebody was going to hit on somebody else's girl and start a fight. I don't ever remember being in a beer joint in my life and being at ease. Every time I was ever in there, I was ill at ease because I was always braced and waiting for trouble. And it usually showed up pretty quick. Those places just breed that. That's the atmosphere there. And sooner or later, somebody will have one beer too many, say something or do something, and it'll start. I don't miss that at all. I mean, if you need that to make your life exciting, there's something wrong with you mentally, buddy. I mean, you got a psychological problem. I like coming to church. You know the last time I had a fight in church? I never have. You know the last time I worried about somebody in church hitting on my wife? Well, I never have. You know when the last time was I woke up and wondered what I did last night? Let me see if I can remember the last time that I woke up in the morning worried about being found out. I can't remember having to look over my shoulder to see if anybody was going to catch me at anything. Ain't that wonderful? Yeah. So, oh, that's so boring. Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful way to be, buddy. I'm here to tell you. I lay down at my wife said, man, your head don't hit the pillow and you're asleep. And she's absolutely right. That's why I went to bed. I sat in front in the living room and read or studied or watched TV till I just couldn't hold them open no more. I mean, and sometimes I didn't make it all the way. She'll say, you've been snoring for 30 minutes. Shh, don't wait. Man, I hit that bed and I'm gone. Next thing I know, the sun's up. I ain't laying there worrying about nothing. I ain't got nothing. I ain't been nowhere. I ain't been with nobody. My conscience is not defiled. I'm not worried about being found out. I'm not concerned about being caught up with. Why couldn't I go to sleep? People say, well, I just worry about this. And I ain't got nothing to worry about. I've got two life verses. When I sign a card, I either sign a Song of Solomon 2:4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I use that one sometimes. And Psalm 3:5. I laid me down, I slept, I arose, for the Lord kept me. I love that verse. I laid me down, I slept, I arose, for the Lord kept me. Amen. You think that's a boring life? I've been having a great time for 35 years. I haven't found anything about boring about being a Christian. I've met some boring Christians, but I... Nobody here, though. Nobody here. Now, choose carefully. Number 5, 6, whatever it is. The shepherd's search. Here's the point of the message. The shepherd searches. Now, and he goes wherever the sheep are. In Luke 15, he goes into the wilderness. In Matthew 18, he goes into the mountains. So he goes from Myrtle Beach to Mount Mitchell. If you get lost in there, he'll come looking for you. Any place that you're in trouble. The idea is that no matter where you go, in the wilderness of this world, from the lowest valley to the highest mountain, wherever he thinks the sheep are, that's where Jesus goes. Why? Because he came to seek, to look for, to seek that which is lost. He came to save. And in order to do that, he's got to find you. And when he comes and he finds you, I don't care what kind of dirty little rat hole you're in. I don't care what kind of nasty little life you're living. I don't care what kind of wickedness you're in. He came to save you and to get you out of there. Now, I got no patience with these folks that say, well, I'm a Christian, and it doesn't make any difference how I live or how I dress or where I go. Jesus saved me. He loves me like I am. Yeah, he saved you that way, but he didn't save you to leave you that way. When he goes and finds the sheep in the mountains, he takes him back to the flock. When he finds the sheep in the wilderness, he takes him back to the flock. He never saved anybody to leave them where they were. Great deal of comfort in knowing that wherever the sheep are, Jesus goes. Now, we make two applications. If you're lost, that is dead in trespasses and sin, lost without God and lost without hope, he'll go anywhere. He goes to bar rooms. He goes to whorehouses. He goes to dope dens. Amen? You say, well, I just don't think I ought to go there and be a witness. I don't think so either. Amen. When I say he goes there in their heart. Don't you go down to some beer joint to be a witness. We're liable to think you're down there drinking or flirting. Amen. You wait till that drunk goes home. Meet him down at his house. Amen. Mail him a gospel tract or take him a gospel tract. There's a lot of ways to reach him, but you don't have to go to those dens of iniquity to reach him. Amen. People say, well, I know myself, you know, I'm not tempted. Yeah, the devil knows you too. And he knows the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Amen. And he knows that you're weak in the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm not going them places. I want them drunks get saved. I want to see them harlots get saved. I want to see them dope heads get saved. But I'm not going down to the dope den or the beer joint to do it. How late do they leave there, or I'm going to catch them before they get there. Got to have a little common sense. But the shepherd will go wherever he has to go. He goes to the ends of the earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus wants to go. If there's a sheep there, he wants them to hear the story. Amen? Now, if you're saved and backslid, your heart's grown cold, and you've got away from God, and you got into sin, got yourself in trouble, he's still looking for you too. Amen. I don't care where, you can be out in the wilderness or up on the mountain, and he's looking for you. He's looking for you. If you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and you're not living like you should, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ wants you back. He wants you back. And he'll go wherever he's got to go to get you. If you stay lost, if you stay out of fellowship, if you stay out of service, if you have no rewards, if you have no peace, if you have no joy, if you have no protection, it's not going to be his fault. He's out looking for you. God's not willing that any should perish. God wants you. He wants you. Now, let me mention this. The success rate. The success rate. You know what it said over there in Matthew 18:13? I've read that thing I don't know how many times over the years. And one day it struck me. In Luke 15, it says he searches till he finds him. But that's not what it said in Luke or in Matthew. In Matthew it said, if so be that he find him. But what's the implication? That sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't. He's looking. He is doing his part. He is out diligently searching, beating the bushes. He's in the highways and the hedges. He's on the mountain. He's down in the wilderness. He's wherever he can find lost sinners or lost sheep. And he wants to restore you. He wants to lay you on his shoulder and bring you back to the flock. He wants to bring you back to the peaceful, still waters and the green grass and the protection of the shepherd. It don't always work out. You ever hear people say, well, I preach, I'm going to get right one of these days. I'm going to get right one of these days. I'm going to get saved one of these days. Or you'll hear saved people say, I preach, I know I'm not right, I know I'm backslid, but I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with God. And then they die. And they never did get right with God. They never did get saved. Now, you can't blame that on Jesus. He was looking for you. He wanted to bring you back. You know what the problem was? The sheep didn't want to come. How often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, and ye would not? He can't make you come back. The Lord tugs at your heart. He brings circumstances in your life. He puts trials and tribulations and troubles and turns your world upside down, trying to get your attention, trying to speak to you. And you keep saying, nope, nope, just bad luck. Things just ain't been going my way. How many times God got to knock you down before you realize God knocked you down? How many times have you got to have bad luck before you realize the odds on this much bad luck are just too astronomical to be for real? Nobody in the world's got that much bad luck. Someday it has to be on purpose. I wish that I could stand in the pulpit and say, if you're backslid, Jesus will get you back. But I can't say that. I can tell you this, he'll do his part. He'll search. But just like he can't make you get saved, he can't make you follow him, he can't make you come back either. And a lot of people who get backslid never get back in fellowship with God. And a lot of people who are lost, and God deals with them and calls them and tries to get them to come, and they refuse and they refuse, and they turn their back and they go the other way, they don't always come back and get saved. A lot of them die and go to hell. But it's not because the shepherd didn't go where they were. The shepherd went. The shepherd wants you saved. The shepherd laid down his life. The shepherd shed his blood. The shepherd hung on Calvary's cross and died the most ignoble death a man could die. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. Then he goes to the uttermost parts of the earth to seek out those who need a shepherd. Now I want to close on a positive note. There's the rejoicing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 13, Luke chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, said when he finds it, when he finds that sheep, he lays it on his shoulder and comes home rejoicing. There's excitement in heaven every time the shepherd recovers a lost sheep. Now, there might not be excitement in a Baptist church. Folks get saved these days, man. People are supposed to be saved, sit there and go, I wish you'd hurry up. Well, we sang three stanzas of Lost Just As I Am already. You're going to four or five for crying out loud. Don't you know the roast is going to burn? That's the reason you ought to eat out, see? They get impatient if you extend the invitation. Now, we don't have no problem with that here. Because unless the Lord lays it on my heart, I don't give one. Amen. People say, well, I talked to some preachers, they fuss at me. Yeah, you ought to give an invitation every time you preach. Why? I never have understood that. If I don't see something, if God doesn't impress me, if what's the point? Say, well, God might be speaking to somebody and you not know it. You tell me he called me to preach and he gave me the message to preach and he gave me the unction to preach and he wouldn't let me know when he'd done something? I don't think so. And if I'm wrong about that, I'll just have to answer for it in the judgment seat. Amen. I think sometimes you give so many invitations, people get immune to them. Amen. When I feel a heaviness or a burden when I preach, I give an invitation. When I look back there and I see something on somebody's face, and maybe I misread their face, you know, but if I see something, I'll give one. I wish I could give one every service. Amen? But not just for the fun of it. It's like having the Lord's Supper every week. You get kind of tired of it. But when the Lord finds one, he rejoices. Now, I could spend some time on the sadness at the loss. He searched for one and he never found them. They wouldn't come back. They wouldn't get right. But I much prefer when he finds them. That's the object. I'm not interested in the losses and the sadness and the sorrow. What I'm interested in is the ones that he finds. And the rejoicing that goes on. And how us fundamental Baptists ought to shout it out when somebody gets saved, or when somebody's been living that borderline Christianity and they're on the outside and they got no joy left anymore and they're not really serving God and they don't have any burden about sin. And they get right. You see God do a work in their heart. Some we ought to be shouting it out. Amen. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be rejoicing. Over there in Luke 15, it said he lays it on his shoulder and brings him back. And he calls his neighbors and everybody together, and they have a big old party. Amen? They broke out the cheer wines and the peanuts and the nabs. I mean, and they put one down. That's what it said. Look in the Greek. Look over there in Luke 15. Get a Nestle's Greek text and look it up. That's exactly what it said. It said they had cheerwines and nabs. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I got my imagination and you got yours. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want to lose anybody eternally. The sheep of mankind that are lost without God and without hope, he came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And you folks who are saved by God's grace and who can go astray and be lost from the flock of God, he don't want to lose you either. And your shepherd will go wherever it's necessary to find the sheep. He'll even come to church to find the sheep. Let me ask you this this morning. Are you God's sheep? Are you? Are you saved by God's grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb? And if you die today, you know that you know that you know that you know you go home to glory. You say, I'm one of his sheep. I'm in his flock. Let me ask you this. Are you in the center of the flock? Are you walking out there on the edge? You following the shepherd? Or are you following your own instincts? You follow the shepherd, green pastures, still waters. Follow your own self, lost. Sooner or later, you're lost. Why don't you make up your mind this morning to follow Jesus? You want the best life? You want the most secure life? You want to have confidence in your salvation? You want a sense of the presence of God? You want to see God work in your life? You want God's umbrella of protection over your head? Follow the shepherd. Follow me, he said. You want anything else? You want all the troubles and sorrow that the world has without his companionship, without his fellowship, without his protection? Go your own way. The choice is yours. Joshua 24:15 said, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's up to you. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.